So Colossians chapter 1, let me start our reading in verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness, the mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Well, do keep that passage open in front of you as we explore it just for the next 20 minutes or so. Now, the world is like a treasure island. In some ways, it's not entirely like that. Do bear with me. But somewhere, there is a box of precious jewels that has been hidden. It's been hidden since forever. Over the centuries, a lot of people have been digging around trying to find this treasure, these precious jewels. Some people were hardly aware that the treasure even existed. Others decided to wait until somebody else had found it, and some people just weren't that interested. But now, there is a map. The creator of this world has made all the necessary information and directions available such that anyone and everyone can find this treasure if they care to do so. The spot is marked with a cross, you could say. Now, those who've discovered this treasure have found that it is the most important thing in the whole of the universe. And they've also found that there is plenty of this treasure for everyone. The more you look, the more you find. Now, before the map was provided, only a small, kind of select group of people had been told about the existence of this treasure. And sadly, most of them had not tried very hard to find it. But since the map appeared, to use the words of our passage here, since this mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations has been disclosed, since then, people from across the whole world, they've come and they've found this treasure. It's been discovered, even as we were singing in that last song, by people of all nations, all ethnic groups, all racial groups, people of all languages. As it says here in our passage in verse 27, to them, to those people, those that God has chosen to make known among the whole world the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This great mystery has been solved. Now, if you're looking in for the first time this morning, that may sound a little bit far-fetched, but it is exactly what the Bible says. Jesus is the answer to any question that about anything that has any permanent or eternal consequence. And this is not fantasy. There is plenty of evidence to back up this claim. And unlike any of the stuff that we accumulate during our lives, there is available to every one of us a treasure that will give us riches that we can take with us when we die. Treasure that will last forever. Now, in these last few weeks, some of you will be aware, we've been exploring this ancient letter from a Christian missionary called Paul to a group of Christian believers whom he's never actually met. We read that back in chapter 2 here and verse 1. He says, "I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally." Now, just a reminder, Laodicea and Colossae were two settlements in the middle of what is today's Turkey, inland from Ephesus to the west, where Paul himself had spent a couple of years. You can read about that elsewhere in the Bible, in Acts chapter 19. Now, Paul was in prison as he was writing this letter. You may notice the reference here in verse 24 of chapter 1, to his suffering. Now, this was a time in the first century AD when Christian persecution was very severe under the Roman Empire. And Paul has been visited here by Epaphras, his friend, and we also know that not long after that, Epaphras himself was imprisoned for his faith. Now, Epaphras himself had told Paul about these churches that had emerged in this area of Colossae and Laodicea, and Paul, we read, was delighted to hear that his message had spread. The message, the Christian faith, was going viral. More and more people were discovering that this eternal treasure was real. And they in turn were sharing it with their friends, and some of those friends had discovered it for themselves too. And those friends, some of them, were passing it on to other people. It was spreading. Now, to the Romans, it must have felt a bit like playing whack-a-mole. I don't know if you're familiar with this game. But what they were finding was that when they would get rid of one Christian over here, several more seemed to emerge over here. And the more they tried to suppress the Christian faith, the more it seemed to spread. And of course, that's what's happening in the world again today, isn't it? It is happening over here. Perhaps it's not so evident, but in places like China, North Korea, where again there is persecution, it is spreading. Now, how do we account for that? How do we account for that? Well, it's because this treasure map, this good news, this gospel, as the Bible puts it, look at verse 25, it is the Word of God in all its fullness. The Word of God in all its fullness. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, the Father, as we just sung. Now, when I was thinking about this a little bit during the week, the name of a Jewish scholar named Gamaliel came to my mind, and some of you may have heard of him. When the Christian church started to grow quite soon after the day of Pentecost, a few of the original disciples got arrested for preaching that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And they were put in trial before the Jewish council, who were about to issue the death penalty when Gamaliel spoke up. And I just want to read a few verses here from Acts chapter 5, because it's been recorded for us. of what he said. So I'm going to read from verse 34 of Acts chapter 5. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, he stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present case, I advise you to leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you won't be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Now that's pretty profound, isn't it? There's no suggestion, sadly, that Gamaliel ever became a Christian. We don't know for sure. And ironically, he is also recorded in history as being the Jewish tutor of Paul himself before he was converted to the Lord Jesus. So how his words have come true. Here they are again. It is from God. If it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Now, Paul certainly knew the truth of this. Verse 25 again, back to our reading in Colossians chapter 1. He says, "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people." We have the complete Bible today. This is our map. But before Jesus came, they only had the Old Testament, which was a bit like a map with lots of holes in it. But we have got the whole picture. And no matter where we're starting from, it tells us exactly where the treasure is hidden. And it tells us how to hang on to that treasure once we've found it. And it also tells us about the consequences of not finding it or of letting go of that treasure. Paul writes here in verse 28 of our passage this morning, He, that is Jesus, he is the one we proclaim. Admonishing, and that means correcting or warning, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may be able to present everyone fully mature in Christ. So the aim is that we don't just get a little bit of this treasure. We need to keep digging, to keep finding more of this treasure, because there is an endless supply and God wants to give it all to us. And the more of it that we have, the more mature we will become, the firmer our faith will be. And that's the reason that Paul wrote this letter. He's delighted in the progress that these new believers are making. So verse 5 says at the end of our reading this morning, "For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delighted to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ is." So Paul's delighted, but he's also concerned that they may stop digging in the spot where the cross is, and that they might start looking for treasure elsewhere. Verse 4 tells us, "I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments." Now, of course, I trust we all know this treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's beloved Son, the one who, as we were only reading a couple of weeks ago, verse 15, back in chapter 1, he is the image of the firstborn God, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And through him, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The place is marked with a cross. It's in Jesus that all of this treasure is to be found. Chapter 2 again, verse 2, the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The full riches of complete understanding. You see the kind of emphasis that Paul is giving to this. It's not just a little bit here and there. It's the full riches of complete understanding. That's the reason that we've given this series the title that it's all about Christ, because quite simply, it is all about Christ. Jesus, you may remember, told a parable about a friend. Howard spoke from this a few weeks ago in the evening series. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." I was speaking to somebody this week, somebody who is investigating the Christian faith, and he said to me, I find these parables hard to understand. They're like Jesus seems to be speaking in riddles. And in a way, he had a point. God has hidden this treasure in such a way that we won't kind of accidentally stumble upon it. But if you use the map, if you use the map provided, you will find this treasure easily. The hidden treasure is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And that means you can't expect to find it anywhere else. Taking a pilgrimage, for example, to Lourdes or somewhere else, is not going to enhance your Christian experience. If anything, potentially, it could lead you to put your trust in something other than Christ alone. And it's why we don't, in this church, do kind of specific healing or kind of miracle ministries. Now, don't get me wrong, of course, the God of heaven and earth can, and he certainly does, do all kinds of miracles. We've heard even from Annetta, just a few things that have helped her in these last few months. He does healing miracles. But unless those miracles point you to Christ, being miraculously healed really has no eternal value, because we're still going to die in the end. Plenty of other religions and faiths will offer all kinds of spiritual experiences, and they're worth nothing if you don't have Christ. Now, I'm sorry if that sounds offensive. I'm certainly not saying that in order to promote my faith above somebody else's. I'm saying it because it's the truth. God himself has appeared in human form through his miracles and through his love and his wisdom. Jesus showed without a doubt that he is the Lord. The facts before us are absolutely clear. Paul wrote this letter to admonish and to teach everyone with all wisdom. He says here in 2 verse 2, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love," the words that Josh was referencing a little earlier, "so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding." God's treasure, therefore, is for everyone. There is no individual, there is no group, there is no nation who is excluded from this treasure. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never turn away." And that's the promise. So what are we going to do with this promise? Well, there are three quick things I just want to pick up from our reading in these last few minutes that we have together. Find it, explore it, proclaim it. So first, find it. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you found the treasure? Because if you have found the treasure, you will know it. It is glorious. But if you're not sure, then you probably haven't found that treasure. So what you need to do is to keep following the map. Read the Bible. Ask others perhaps to explain it to you. Keep coming along perhaps to services like this, but don't stop looking until you've found the treasure. Don't stop until your faith is based firmly on the rock that is Christ Jesus, because only then will you know, as we've read here, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the faith and the love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, as we've seen earlier in chapter 1 here. God's treasure is for everyone. The map is freely available. All who seek, we're told, shall find. So keep looking. And when you've found this treasure, the next point is explore that treasure. Explore it. Keep digging. These riches are not just lying there, as it were, kind of on the surface. As you kind of pick up one piece of treasure, you'll find that there's another piece below. And as you keep digging into this treasure, you'll find that there's more and there's more. I've heard of so many of you that have told me about, you know, finding more about Jesus every time you open up your Bibles. Some of us have been Christians for decades, but we're still finding more treasure. We're still finding more wisdom, more knowledge. It's a limitless pot of wisdom and grace. And it's these things that will, as Paul's desire here is, they will encourage you in heart and unite you in love. Now, on Wednesday evening last, in our home group, we just looked at one characteristic of God, his compassion. And we saw that in various parts of Scripture, some in places that I hadn't really noticed before. I was, as we were meeting, encouraged in heart, as we kind of explored these riches together, just for those few minutes, even over Zoom. And it's these riches that we have in Christ that enable us to live the kind of lives that Paul was praying for, as we read back in verses 9 to 14 of chapter 1, that we might live fruitful lives, lives worthy of the Lord, lives that please our Savior. So the treasure has to be found, it must be explored, and thirdly, it is to be proclaimed. Because when you found and explored the fullness of these riches in Christ, you simply won't be able to keep it to yourself. You have to tell others. I mean, can you honestly say that you care about someone when they don't know anything about the treasure that you have found and you don't bother telling them? How can that be care? How can that be love? Well, this week, one of you very nice people delivered a box of chocolate cakes to the office. And I was very tempted to keep them all to myself. I held back, to be honest, for nearly 24 hours, but others are now enjoying them. Those cakes, of course, will be gone before too long, though more are always welcome. But this treasure is endless. And there's enough of this treasure for me and for you and for your neighbors and for your family and for your colleagues and for your enemies, if you've got any of those as well. There is no end to Christ's riches, and they're available to everybody. So the Apostle Paul simply did what all believers are called to do. Christ, verse 28, he says, is the one we proclaim. It's why in this church we tend to support charities which are involved in proclaiming the gospel. So Reach Beyond is one of those. Martin and Ruth Harrison serve with them. And of course, if you were here with us last Sunday, you'll remember some of the things that they told us then. Our Easter offering was for Proclamation Institute Zambia. And I'm really excited to tell you that through that offering, we raised £8,500. That is money that will help train up men and women in that part of Africa so that they can explore these riches in Christ, so that they will be equipped to proclaim this gospel message faithfully and passionately to others. Because proclaiming, admonishing, and teaching is also our role in the church here in Caterham. It's my role here. It's each of your roles, so that, as we've read, we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And it's our joyful privilege to tell others where they can find the treasure. And of course, it's our responsibility to do that as well. But it's not easy. And it would be wrong, it would be dishonest of me, I think, to leave this passage without being honest and open about the potential cost. Because the Apostle Paul made it his life's ambition to know Christ and to proclaim Christ no matter what. As we've seen already, it landed him in prison and ultimately it got him executed. In verse 24, there's several references to that kind of suffering in this passage this morning. I just wanted to very quickly glance at each of them. Verse 24, he talks about his sufferings. This is Paul talking about his own sufferings, and he calls it filling up in his flesh what was lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Now, of course, let's not misunderstand this. There was nothing lacking in what Jesus did for us when he paid the price of our sin on the cross. His work was perfect. His death was a perfect sacrifice. It was complete. But just as Jesus' body was broken, so the body of Christ, the church, you and me, if we're followers of the Lord Jesus, we also are called to suffer the afflictions of Christ. Look at verse 25. Paul saw himself, it says, as a servant of the church. He didn't lord it over the church. He gave himself in service to the church. And in verse 1 of chapter 2 here, he says, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you. Now, we don't know exactly what he meant by that. But he's probably talking about prayer there, kind of anguish for these people, even as he was delighting in them. And for you and me, we can do exactly the same things, but it will be hard. Praying for one another means giving time to just thinking about each other and lifting them to the Lord. For you and me to pray is going to take up our time, and that means thinking and perhaps even finding out about other people's needs, asking them, talking to God about them. And if you do struggle with that on your own, as most of us do, if we're really honest, with prayer, there are opportunities to do that with other people. At the moment, we're doing Monday evenings and Thursday mornings, opportunities over Zoom to pray for one another. Do join us at one or both of those sometimes. And of course, you've got your home groups, another great opportunity to pray and support one another in prayer. Verse 29 here, right at the end of chapter 1, Paul says he strenuously contended for them. It was hard work. It was physically and emotionally hard. And Paul himself must have been so desperate to kind of hang on and remain faithful to Christ, even in these awful circumstances, even in the face of death, so that the message that he had proclaimed would not be discredited. I'm sure you've heard this here before, but following Jesus is never meant to be easy. Proclaiming Jesus is hard because most people, quite honestly, are not that interested. Most people think that this treasure that we've talked about this morning is simply a figment of our imagination. But not everybody. Some of the seed Jesus promised will fall on good ground. So let's be encouraged. Let's keep going. Let's be willing to suffer. Let's strenuously contend for one another. Not in our own strength, though, of course. And we tend to find this whenever we see a passage in Scripture that talks about working hard for the Lord Jesus, there's always a mention that it's not in our strength, And here we get in verse 29 here, he says, strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in us. And if Christ is in us, and by faith in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he is in us by his Spirit, we have access to the power that created the universe. We have access to the power that holds all things together even today. We have access to the power that raises the dead to life, the unlimited power of the Almighty God. The mystery is solved. This treasure is for everyone. Find it, explore it, proclaim it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you have made it possible for us to know you. We thank you for your Spirit which dwells in us through faith in the Lord Jesus, both now and forever. We thank you for showing us where you may be found. Please help us, we pray. If anybody is watching this morning or later on a recording of this message, pray that you'll give us that real desire to find that treasure if we haven't done so already. And for those of us that have begun to explore, have we trust found that rock of Jesus Christ, help us to continue to explore, to dig deeper, to find out more, encourage that we might encourage one another in this, that we might be found mature in Christ, and of course that we might proclaim it, that we might share it with others. Father, we ask for these things knowing that you do give us that power through the power of Jesus, but we ask that you'd help us in all of these things in his name. Amen.